give, the more he gives to you. That alone should cause you to break out in praise. Let us give God a hand clap of praise in this place today. Thank you guys so much for all of you who have come on in-person fellowship and worship here today. Thank you guys for all of you who are joining us live online. If this is your first time with us, a very special welcome to you. If you're joining us live for the first time, a very special welcome to you. I'm Pastor KP, and I greet you in the name of God the Father, Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior, and the person of the Holy Spirit. And on behalf of the elders here at Gateway and myself, I am excited to be here, and we're so glad to have you with us today. Got a little ways to go, so I want to get to where we're going today. You know, there's so much emphasis given today in the church, in particular, when you speak about growth. There's a lot of conversation when you think about the word growth. And of course, more times than not, that emphasis is on physical growth, the church growing physically. Now, it should be given that every local assembly in the world, every local church, should have a desire to grow physically, right? I mean, that means that somebody else has come to Christ, has trusted in Christ for their salvation. So why wouldn't we want to see more people come because they have given their lives to Christ? Now, while that should be every local assembly's desire, the scripture, I believe, lays out that the church's focus must be on spiritual growth, even if there is very little physical growth. Now, today we're going to look in the book of Ephesians. And my hope is that we all see today that what the core and the backbone of our ministry as a church, what it must be, and that it is our guide for what we must do and how we are to understand what the ministry of the church is to be, to please our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is our goal, is it not? Amen. Sadly, for many churches, though, that's only the goal in words. But it's simple. What you're going to see today is very clear. I don't believe it's anything very complicated about it. Although it is a very miraculous and a supernatural thing, but for us, it's God's pattern set down for us to follow. And I believe it's a very simple and a very clear pattern. And yet, for some reason, it appears that the evangelical church, though, she continues to drift and drift and drift and think that there must be something we must find with every new book, every new idea that comes out, how we're going to be more effective in our ministry, how we're going to do something to grow even more so that we might honor God. But I believe the simple thing is just turn to the Word of God and see what He says do. Amen? So that's what we want to do, just that today. I want you to turn, if you haven't already done so, turn in your Bibles to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4. Make your way to chapter 4, and our primary scripture focus for today will be verses 11 through 16. Keep in mind how I started out. I said there's an emphasis in today's church on growth. I believe scripture puts that emphasis, though, not necessarily on physical growth, but on spiritual growth. And I find this passage in Ephesians 4, it should be of great importance to every single local church, because it really sets forth Jesus's pattern, or Christ's pattern, for his church, for church growth. It was the pattern that he gave through the Apostle Paul 2,000 years ago when he wrote this letter to these believers in Ephesus. And I don't believe anything has changed. And it is so frustrating to me as a pastor to read and see so much material from other pastors or leaders dealing with the church, and they totally ignore these instructions that are set down by the one who is the head of the church. You come up with a new idea, you get enough people to gather around your idea, and perhaps you get a whole bunch of people in attendance at church, and that becomes the pattern that now every other local church try to follow. But I believe there is no other pattern for the church than the pattern that has been laid down by the one who is the head of the church. Now, before I read you our focus scripture for today, let me read, and for those who are taking notes, make the note, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, just one verse. I believe this verse shares an important truth that's going to ground us for what we're going to look at in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 1:22 reads this way. And God, talking about God the Father, he placed all things under his feet. The NASB puts it this way. He put all things in subjection under his feet, referring to Jesus Christ, and appointed, meaning gave him as head over everything, over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So what you're about to see today in Ephesians 4, these are the instructions given by the head of the church, Jesus Christ. Not by those we respect and have a great, and we should respect them, but not by those leaders who God has blessed, but they've come up with a different way. These instructions are by the head of the church, Jesus Christ, and that makes it key. So we find our focus scripture verses 11 through 16 from the NIV reads this way. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow. There's the word growth there. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. And from him the whole body, from the head, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows, there it is again, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The title for today's message is Trust the Process. Trust the Process. I almost changed it, Steve, this morning, which I still want to say it in your healing. I might have should have named it Trust and Obey the Process. Trust the process. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for our time together. Thank you so much for the grace that has brought us from last week, to this very moment. It's not like this moment was in the future for you because you see things at all times right now. You knew who would be here this day, and I thank you for this opportunity to stand in your glorious presence. And God, in your grace, you would allow me to stand before your people. So now, God, I pray for our time together, that you would bless us by the teaching and preaching of your word, God, that you would minister to our hearts your plan, God, your only plan for your church. We acknowledge you are the head of your church, God, and we are the body. We pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Trust the process. Now, let me build us up to where we are in our verses in Ephesians chapter 4. If you take a close look at the book of Ephesians, you will see that it's actually broken down into a pattern that is quite normal for the Apostle Paul. First, he goes through what is called the doctrinal foundation. That means the truths that are basic to our lives as God's people. And he does that through the first three chapters of Ephesians. He starts out in chapter 1. Talking about what God had done on our behalf even before the creation of the world. And as he proceeds on through chapters 2 and 3, he talked about the church, how Jew and Gentile alike are being brought into one body. Now, Elder Tucker hit on these points in his message 2 weeks ago. Start right here. So then he starts out in chapter 4 by saying, as the prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. You understand something of that calling because of everything that he said in the first three chapters. Now he has an exhortation here beginning in chapter 4 saying, I need you to live or walk, that is, in a manner worthy of that calling. So this last part of the letter, six chapters in Ephesians, first three chapters are doctrinal, talking about the basics of foundation for our lives. These last three chapters It deals with our conduct in light of that doctrine that he has taught. And what you see in these last three chapters, he talks about the unity that we have as God's people, and we are to be diligent in preserving that unity. So in chapter 4, verse 3, he says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now we don't create that unity. No, we don't create that unity. That's a work of God. When he brings salvation to our hearts and he makes us new, he places us in his body. Now we have that unity. Now you and I are to preserve and keep that unity, keep anything from disrupting that unity. And then in verses 4-6, he talks about the oneness that we all have. He says, one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. So that unity that we are all joined together in this relationship of oneness. And when he gets to verse 7, he says, but in that oneness, there is diversity. In that oneness, each of us individually now, we were all given a gift. So within this unity we have, there is this marvelous diversity. And it's talking about the analogy he's giving here is of your body. There is one body, but there are many members, diverse members of your body that makes that one body function as it should. So that diversity works together to, it works together to develop and produce a greater unity in our relationship with one another. That's God's plan. So he says in verse 7, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. I'm getting to verse 11 with our scripture text, but in verse 7 it's key. He says, to each one of us, grace is given to us. To each individual member, grace is given to you as Christ apportioned it. That means according to the measure that he decided to give. So on the basis of Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and his ascension now of Jesus Christ, he bestowed gifts to every single person that believes in him. And that's why when you get to verse 8, it says that Christ ascended and he gave gifts to men. Now, we're not going to go to the details of the passage, but when he ascended on high, what does that mean? In Acts chapter 1, remember that's when Jesus ascended back to the Father, right? And so what did he tell them before he goes, though? He says what? In the Gospel of John on the last night, he told them, it's necessary for me to return to the Father so that he can send the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he will bring gifts. The gifts that Christ, according to our text, that Christ has measured out to each individual. So there in verse 7, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, I want you to note here again, because this is going to be important for you to understand the text. Every single believer, each one of you, if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, every single believer has at least, you've been at least been given a grace gift, a spiritual gift that was bestowed upon you by God's grace, an ability, a gift that gives you the ability to serve him as a member of his body. It's called a grace gift because it's not earned, right? It's not deserved. You don't seek after it. You don't even pray for it. I didn't pray, let me be a pastor, God. He decided according to his own will what he wanted each of you to do if you're a believer, to bring him honor. This grace was given according to how he apportioned it. So Christ is the one that measures out the gifts, right? He has determined what each gift would be, and he has determined what degree that gift would be. I'll use myself as an example. I believe he has gifted me to teach his word. But that does not mean that he has given me the same measure as he has given somebody else that he has gifted to teach his word. But I need to understand what he measured out to me is what he determined after the counsel of his own will for me to serve him. That's why it makes no sense for me to measure myself against another preacher. See, that's what the enemy wants us to do. You're the better preacher, or my preacher is the best preacher. No, Christ, when you understand scripture, God, Jesus as the head of the church, has measured out according to his own will how each individual believer will serve him. So as a pastor teacher, I can still learn from someone else who has been given a greater measure of the gift. And as a teacher who has a greater gift in teaching than I do, that puts me in a position as a student where I can learn things. So, but you know what the goal of my life has to be? I must be the best teacher that I can be. How God has measured that gift out to me. I may never preach to thousands of people like you might see a Billy Graham or someone like that. But I must do the best that I can do with the gift that God has given me. And that's the same with you. You're going to see that in a moment where we're headed here. So I wanted to go there so that you can see as we build up to this, even though there's one body, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of all, we have this diversity. We all have a gift that God has bestowed upon us. But if you will, that gift has been given in a degree within those various gifts. All, as the head of the church, has determined. So now here in verse 11 here, in our text today, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's now going to list some of the gifts that were given to the church. Obviously, now this is nowhere near all of the gifts here, and I'm going to explain why I believe God led him to choose just these gifts. For those who want to do the homework and do the study, other gifts are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14. Romans chapter 12 gives an extensive list of the gifts there. 1 Peter chapter 4 talks about the gifts that are there. But so this is not a full discussion on the gifts. There are other places where we have fuller discussions of that. So what you have here is a sampling of the gifts, but they are a certain kind of gift. These gifts that you're going to see here are gifts of communication of the Word of God. These are people that have been gifted to communicate the Word of God. And you're going to see the purpose of these gifts and how they are to bring glory to God. Yeah, and so our first verse says, Christ himself, didn't choose somebody else to do it. Christ himself, didn't say because KP prayed for it. Christ himself, didn't say KP earned it. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Christ himself gave these gifts of communicating his word. So he doesn't give a gift and now you're on your own. Watch this now. He gives this gift, and we're going to see that it's to serve other people. But these gifts, let me talk about them. I won't go into great details on each individual gifts, but I will give you a little background on them. And I know beforehand many people are going to disagree with me, but in my studying, this is where I am. When Christ ascended, he gave these gifts to his church. The first two, he says, he gave the apostles and the prophets. Now, I understand that they were the foundation of the church. They were the ones that were at the beginning. That's how I understand it. Matter of fact, if you go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, it says the church has been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And I believe that's what we're doing here. We're looking now in the letter to Ephesians. Where did the letter of Ephesians come from? It was revealed through the Apostle Paul, right? So that now we continue to build up on that revelation that God gave the Apostle Paul. I believe the apostles and the prophets were those who received direct revelation from God. Now, this is where many disagree with me, but I believe this office has ceased. I believe God, now that we have the complete word of God, God gave direct revelation to Paul as we're looking at his direct revelation and prophets and the other apostles that are there. He gave direct revelation to them in the beginning of the church, and that's why scripture talks about them as the foundation We're being built, the church is being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Again, I believe these gifts have served their purpose. And then he says he gave some as evangelists. Now, interesting, in my study, I only found this word three times in the whole New Testament. Gave some evangelists. He told Timothy, young Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Then when you go to Acts, you'll see where Philip is called an evangelist. When he is taken to use the gospel to spread it to the Samaritans there. But there, and this is the third occasion here. So three times, and this word in its root, it means gospelizers. Gospelizers, those who take the gospel out to the unsaved so that they might hear and believe. You say, well, I thought all of us are supposed to be evangelists. You are, because the Great Commission is, as you are going, you are to make disciples. So as you and I are going about our day, in that sense, we are evangelizing. But this gift here, these are those who take the initiative to go to other parts of the world, to where people normally wouldn't see or have a Bible or wouldn't hear it. And God specifically has gifted them so that they go and speak the word and people would believe. And I believe this gift is still active today. I believe there are those who God has laid it on their hearts and they are specifically gifted to go out into places that most people won't even venture into. And God has gifted them to speak his word. So Christ determined, what did he tell them? Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And when he ascends, he sends the Holy Spirit and he sends these gifts. Y'all going to have to trust the process. He sends these gifts. He says, how I began my church is I use the apostles and prophets to lay the foundation. I'm the chief cornerstone. I got evangelists that go out throughout all the world and they minister. They are called gospelizers. And here's what I place in the local assembly for you, pastors and teachers. This is what I place in the local assembly here, pastors and teachers. And this would be most familiar to us today because, again, it is exercised in the context of the local church. Now, all pastors have to be teachers. You can't be the one that has oversight over the church and stand up here and you can't teach, but not all teachers are pastors. But there are those who would have the gift of teaching but don't necessarily have the gift of pastors. But the pastor side of the gift is, again, you not only have the oversight, but the primary purpose of your pastoralship is the teaching. And you're getting ready to see that in a moment here. So these gifts are gifts that are the communication of God's word. And I believe, again, y'all saw how I started out. God's plan for his church and his church growth, not necessarily physically, but spiritually here, this is his plan. His plan was, I'm going to gift my church, I'm going to gift apostles and prophets to start this thing out until I believe now the word is complete. I'm going to have evangelizers, gospelizers, evangelists go throughout all the parts of the world. For those people who have believed, they must, you're going to see this in a moment, you must become a part of a local assembly. And I have even given you pastors and teachers so that the word of God can still be communicated to you. But KP does not receive direct revelation from God like Paul did. I take what's there and build on top of that. I now communicate to you what the Spirit gave Paul. And that's why we're looking in the book of Ephesians today. But he gave these gifts, just a sample, not an exhaustive list, right? He gives us the gifts, these specific gifts about communication here. And now we're going to see the purpose of it. But that's foundational to God's purpose, his program for his church. You don't see all these other new ideas and things that we see coming down the pipeline in our emails or in the mail or in these books or these seminars or anything. And I'm amazed at that. Says this is what he did. He died. He rose from the dead. He bestowed gifts on the believers so that his truth could go out and accomplish the work in our lives or in the people's lives. So now we're going to see there's a process here. And I come today to say trust the process. We got to be diligent. We got to trust the process. So the gifts involve communicating the word of God. That's foundational, right? And now we're going to see the purpose of it. But before I get to that, this shows me something. If Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, this is his purpose, his plan, he gifted, specifically in this context, for pastors and teachers to teach you or explain or communicate the word, that should show you the importance of why you need to either be here or tune in on Wednesday night and not just Sunday only. It seems simple and clear, and I believe it is. And I also take it to believe, I believe there's not going to be an excuse for any type of confusion on this. I don't believe you can carry out the plan of God if you're not faithfully and accurately teaching the word of God. That's basic to everything. Now, if that's basic to everything, let me digress for just a moment. If that's basic to everything, and if you are the devil and you want to put a stop to that, where are you going to start? By diluting the word of God. That's what you're going to do. Anything to bring confusion to the word of God. You try to move the church's focus away from teaching the word, right? Keep the church going, but have it focus on other things besides the teaching. Because, you know, obviously, teaching and preaching is outdated today. You know, that we shouldn't do that today. But he says these gifts involve the communication, and pastors are to be teaching the word of God for this purpose. Look at the second part. 12. To equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. To equip his people for the services so that the body of Christ may be built up. For the NASB, as you know, I like to study for, it says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. And so you're going to see three steps here, and they really follow one another and build upon one another. So you teach, you preach the word of God for the equipping. Equipping, that word means to render them fit, to make them everything they need to be. And this same word is used in Matthew 4 when it talks about how they had to mend their nets. When you see the Peter and his brother, them, they had to mend their nets after they fished and the nets would start to get worn and tore. They would mend it so that the nets would be fit for the work that they needed it to be. So we're being, the preaching and teaching is to render you fit, to equip the people for what? So they can be useful for their task, for works of service. Back in Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about that we, even though we're saved by grace and not of works, but you were created for his workmanship. This is God's way of equipping his people, rendering them fit, ready, able to do what he intends for them to do. Now look at what it says. To equip his people for works of service. The NASB say for the equipping of the saints again. So it's to equip those whom he set apart by those who are believers in him. And so as soon as we start to remake the church as a place where we want the church today to be a place where unbelievers will feel comfortable, because we do want them to come, but pretty soon you no longer have that. You have a place of entertainment because we're trying to cater to what they like. And what they don't like, we try to figure that out and we try to remove that. And then we just start down this slippery slope, and now you've replaced the plan of God. He says the church, his church, I gave pastor teachers to be over to teach you, not for the equipping of the unbeliever, but the equipping of his people. Now, unbelievers are welcome to come. We certainly want unbelievers to come, and we want unbelievers to hear the message, and prayerfully by the Spirit and by the grace of God, their hearts are convicted that they come to him. But we need to understand God's plan for his church. You've got to trust the process. This is God's plan for equipping his people. So what do you equip them for? What do you equip your people for? For the work of service. And so while your spiritual gift is certainly to bring you some spiritual joy, you need to understand there is a work that has been created for you. And here's the thing. You don't get to decide what that is. You're chosen for that work. The work of serving. The work of serving, and this is something, and I told Cameron when I came in today, I said I was glad to see him back there helping us out in the absence of a member, because I told him it was confirmation for me, because we all need to understand every part of the body has to work. We need to be serving for the works of service. So the word of God is being taught so that the people can be equipped. That means prepared, rendered fit, ready to go, work of serving, serving the Lord and his people, right? So that, here's another part, the body of Christ may be built up. Here's that growth again. And I've read many books on church growth. I'm even having to take courses in school on church growth. And none of them appear to point to this. And that's shocking to me. And I'm not trying to throw anybody, that's why I'm not naming it, or any schools under the bus or anything, but all these methods, all these plans, all these programs, and yet it's plain and simple here. He says, the pastor teachers were given to render fit, to equip the people for the works of service. That's how, so that the body of Christ would be built up. The building up of the body of Christ. Again, you got to understand, we're talking about what Ephesians chapter 1 talks about. And you go back over there. Christ is the head over all things, the church, his body. So this body that's being built up is talking about the church. The local church is the manifestation of the universal church. So everywhere today, thousands and thousands of local churches of all sizes and all places, they gather together, they're manifesting the church of God. That's his body. That's what we're talking about. But here is the simple and clear teaching, revelation from God, if you will, about church growth. Pastor, teacher, study to show yourselves approved so that you might render fit, you might equip people for the works of service. And so I need all of you who are in the place today, and all of you who are joining online, I thank God for you, certainly when you come and show up, but you need to understand showing up on Sunday is not it. It's a part of it, but you are to be equipped for the work or the works of service, going back to whatever gift that God has given you. And I know Paul wrote this over 2,000 years ago, and people are not as interested like they were back then. We live in a different culture now. People don't seem to relate to preaching and teaching no more, not to be mistaken. Nowadays, there seems to be an accommodation or a hunger for a hoop and a holler than it is teaching. People don't want to sit through and be taught. Gateway, prior to my coming here, and this is not trying to put him on a pedestal, this is just me speaking the truth, you guys were extremely blessed. Pastor John understood this. He wasn't here trying to entertain you. He was trying to be taught, so much so I had one person tell me, didn't know I was, I knew Pastor John or whatever. They said, you know, I went to Gateway, but he just didn't. I just couldn't connect with him. The question is not about how he makes you feel. Is he teaching the truth? Does he teach the truth? Many people don't, you know, like my style, or if you could call it a style of speaking and preaching, because I don't have a jump in me. You know, I'm not shouting and going on. And don't get me wrong, I'm not, as long as you're teaching the truth. But that has to be the most important thing. That's God's plan for building up the body. The word is taught. People are saved. People are nurtured in the word of God. They grow up. Can y'all see the picture? That's why he gives us this analogy of a body. When you believe, you are born again. And just like a baby is born with its parts, that baby has to be nurtured so that it grows up. And then it becomes responsible to do what it's supposed to do. That's why he gives us that. But we've got to trust the process. I don't know. I'll even use myself as an example. How am I going to stand before Jesus at the day when I stand before him and say, you know, Jesus, I couldn't understand it. And I'm using my sanctified imagination. KP, well, turn to Ephesians 4 in your Bible, KP, and show me what you don't understand. It says, teach the word to equip his people to do the works of the service. That will be the result in building up the body that belongs to him. KP, what part of that you don't understand? Well, Lord, I thought just adding this to it would make it work just a little bit better. Well, whose church is it? Are we building up the body of KP? Or whoever? Put a leader name there? No, we're building up the body of Christ. He is the head of it. It belongs to him. Yeah, we call it our church, my church, in the sense we belong to it, but it's not because we are the head of it. Church is the body of Christ. He's the head of it. We're talking about building up his body, but we are going to have to trust the process. I'm not building God's church. He's building his church. All I have to do is do whatever he has called me to do. And that's it. KP, teach the word. Explain the word to them. That's going to equip them to do my works of service. And as everyone exercises their grace gift they have received, according to the text, the body will be built up. Built up means edified. And it's used, obviously, as in that building being constructed, the body developing, the body maturing. It will become what Christ, the head of the church, expects and requires for it to be. That's the plan. You just got to trust that process. So where we go from here? What's the result? Look at verse 13. Until you keep doing it, you trust the process, you do what it says, until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's the plan for us. Until all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son. So we got three more statements here. The unity of the faith. He talks about that back up in verse 5. For those who will go back, there's one faith, right? The faith that we got in Jesus Christ that has brought us into this relationship of oneness with him and his Father and with each other. That's what will produce that unity and knowledge of his Son, that full knowledge. The full knowledge that he intends for us to have. The maturity is what we're talking about here. Growth. Spiritual growth is what we're talking about here. And this is going to happen. You keep doing that until that happens. It's not done. And ultimately, we're going to realize this will never be done until Christ returns. We will forever be growing in him until Christ returns. So the work will always continue. The work is always there. But we are to grow to become from that baby up, and this is not excluding women. When I say man, I mean mankind, to a mature man. That's what we're talking about. Maturity, growth. That's what all of this means. Up to the measure of. That's what it's talking about. Up to the measure of the stature of. Attaining to the whole measure of. To the measure of the stature of. Until we become more and more like him. That's what this is all about. As we grow, here in this section of Ephesians, the emphasis is on our growth as a body here. It happens as each one of us individually is functioning as we should. So the question becomes, are we growing? Are you getting the teaching here? Together, we as a church, we're supposed to reflect that. But too often now, the local church has turned to physical growth and not spiritual growth. Look at the results of this in verse 14, the result. Then, when you do this, if KP and anybody else that's a teacher, if you teach the people, if you communicate the word of God in its truth, it will render them fit. It will equip them for the works of service that I have called and gifted them to do. Right? It will cause them to grow up into the measure of the fullness that Christ has them. They'll become more and more like Christ as they are doing the work that I've called them to do. And it also will result in this. They will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. We underestimate this so much because people put Jesus' name in it, or it has a catchy little saying to it. It sounds good, and we'll shout about it, and it ain't even tied to Scripture. But God wants you to grow up to the maturity so that you're not infants anymore. You're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Everybody that uses Jesus in the end of the sentence don't mean it came from him. My job, my gift rather, and my responsibility is to equip you so that you won't be deceived by the cunning and the craftiness of people in their deceitful scheme. And I believe this points to people who don't even know they're being used to bring in heresy, heretical doctrines, and those types of things. And I believe there are some who are purposely trying to do it. We've been seeing it throughout history. The Bible was used in many ways to condone slavery back in the history days and for many other things. People will use this book for their own personal gain or for their own personal glory. But my responsibility is to help you guys grow up so that you're not tossed to and fro by those types of things. But you got to trust the process. Instead, speaking the truth in love. There's the truth again. Speaking the truth. Instead, speaking the truth in love. And we get in trouble right here because we don't want people upset with us, and nobody should purposely want somebody to be upset with us. But if you really love someone, you would tell them the truth, not what they want to hear. But we speak the truth in love. Instead, this is what we do. And when we do that, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Putting emphasis back on whose church this is, saying when we trust this process, the people will grow spiritually. They won't be followed by everybody that says some good religious talk. They won't be deceived. They'll grow up, become more like their Savior, and they will use the gift that God has given them to serve the body. And let me put this point in here real quick. I know I got to wrap this thing up here shortly, but we sometimes confuse our talents with our grace gifts. You know, we'll say, you know, I was gifted to be a basketball player. You know, I become like LeBron James. If your gift is not serving other people, then this is not the gift that we're talking about. The gift that Christ gave was to serve the body, serve his people so that they might grow. And I don't know how being the best three-point shooter helped me grow in Christ. I'm not knocking it. I do believe God gives us talents. And I thank God for that, but I need you to understand what we're talking about here, and I want to make that point so we don't just come down on King James here. So in your secular job, you may be one of the best, but when I'm talking about this grace gift, this charismatic gift, I'm talking about a gift that serves the body. I didn't know whether we was going to do this or Hebrews today. And Hebrews talks about don't forsake to assemble yourselves together, those types of things. But guess what? If you're not here, I don't know how you necessarily serve the body. Now, don't get me wrong. Oh, KP, you're going to say that in the midst of a pandemic and you're trying. I'm not trying to cause anybody any type of guilt or trying to trick anybody into doing anything. I'm just saying what the scripture says. I don't know how, if I'm here in my hand at home, I don't know how that helps me. We are one body. Every single part of the body is important. Yes, my finger, there are parts of the body that takes that prominence, and my finger may not be as prominent as the brain is. But make no mistake about it, he gave me a pinky finger for a reason. To him, every single part is important. As a matter of fact, scripture reverses it. It says the things that you consider the insignificant parts in his eyes is the most important part. Fingernails become very significant when you get an itch, right? Not important. You cut them off, bite them off, and all that. You get that thing, hit the itch nose. But you, Elaine says, I cut my nails, babe. Come scratch it. You know, I just had to get them. But my point is this. Seriously, trust the process, because I need you guys to see this very clearly. Because Gateway, if nobody else, if there are others who will join a Gateway, if nobody else, we got to see this. This has to become really the theology backbone of our church here. That everything is pinned upon this, that we understand that it's the teaching of the truth. The teaching of the truth is what's going to equip us. And you need to understand every single person has a gift. All of us has to serve. Even if you don't know what that gift is, yes, I will say start serving. What's going to happen is going to manifest where you're more effective at. And you're going to begin to see, man, God seems to really use me. I'm seeming to be very effective in this area. And other people start confirming that for you. You know, you're really good at that. And it seems to come natural to you, because it's a gift. It's a gift. But everybody serves. Everybody serves. Let me say this. I'm gonna say something that I don't know if it'll be misunderstood, but it needs to be said. And it's speaking about every part making that contribution there, because I really don't. I'm a little disturbed at how little people think of the ministry that they serve in. It becomes almost like it is a secular job. I don't feel like doing it no more. Can you imagine me coming? I don't feel like pastoring no more. I don't want to do this no more. This is not your secular job. As a matter of fact, it needs to become priority to you in finding out where you are to serve in the body. Because you are very important to the body. That's why Cameron and I was excited to see you there. I'm not saying that's exactly where I know that's where God wants you to serve, but I'm glad to see you serving. That's why I asked my daughter. She's not right. You usually see her right there. And I said, you know, she wasn't serving the way. I said, well, you go back there and help Jordan. I'm not saying that's where I know she's supposed to be, but I know she needs to be serving. Paul done got up here 3-4 times saying we need some help. But I get it. Some after this, some might come back. Somebody might say I'm leaving. But there it is again, though. Wait a minute now. What is this really about? When you make a decision, oh, you know, I'm leaving. He decided. I don't believe any of you here by coincidence. He decided what he was going to gift you to do. And I believe he places you strategically in the local assembly you're supposed to be a part of. You have to be a part of a local assembly. I was guilty of this. I was hiatus from the church, 3 years? I got upset. I left the church, and I can tell you guys, I was wrong. Scripture shows me that very clearly. He didn't gift me to say, you can be out there. Oh, I don't have to go to church to be saved. I didn't say nothing about you being saved. I'm talking about he gifted you for a purpose. The grace of God not only saved you, the moment he saved you, he also grace gifted you to serve his people. And you can't do that apart from the people, being away from the people. KP. This is God's plan for church growth. Now, does that mean your church is, that Gateway is going to grow into this 2,000 people place? Any physical growth will be by the grace of God. Any physical growth. The success of Gateway is dependent upon how you define success. I believe Scripture says, points to, successful growth in Christ is when we become the full measure in Christ. The more you guys become like Jesus, operating in the gifts that he has called you to, therein lies whether we've been successful or not. Has nothing to do with numbers. God bless us if we can grow physically. But my prayer is that we grow spiritually. One more thing and I'm done. 1 Peter chapter 4. Just make the note. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it to you here. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10. I just want you to see it says the exact same thing here. Speaking of the growth here. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10 says this. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And that's what we've been learning on Wednesday night, that we are all stewards, and it is required of every steward to be found faithful. Each of you, that's what it says now, each of you use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. The way salvation occurs is this way, you guys, and I'm done. The gospel is presented. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's by an instrument that God raises up. He uses some person, right, to carry that message of the gospel to a lost person. How can they hear without a preacher, right? How can they preach unless they are sent? That's the plan. A person is born again by hearing the gospel and believing that. That's it. That's what you do. And once that person becomes a part of the church, now God's plan, the head of the church plan, is coming here to be equipped, not create an environment for unsaved people. That's not our focus. Our focus is to equip those who are here for the work. That's what I see in the message. That's what I see as God's plan. And I came to tell you today, you're going to have to trust that process. Well, I tried that, KP. They got mad with me. Go tell somebody else then. Nobody feels the pressure more than the pastor when in terms of wanting to see physical growth. Trust me. Because we know how thought process is in many churches today. Pastor, you know, I ain't seen nobody come. You know, we might have to talk about your tenure here. But that's not, I need you to understand, Gateway, that won't be my focus. God brings them, God bless, praise the Lord. I'm going to study, and I'm just going to teach you what it says so that I can hopefully, prayerfully help you grow in Christ so that you might discover what it is that he's called you to do and you serve faithfully in that. That's the process I'm going to trust. Let me pray for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the plan you have set down in your word. Thank you for all the people you've drawn to yourself, God, and brought to be a part of this local fellowship, God. Thank you for those who may not even be a part of this local fellowship, but they're joining us live online. I thank you for the many, many gifted people who do the work of the service. Some of them are often unrecognized, unnoticed, but they faithfully, day in and day out, week after week, God, month after month, year after year, they are faithful in that service, God. They are faithful in the ministry that you've called them to. And you, God, you have certainly blessed us as a local church. And so I just praise you, God, and say thank you today for your word. Help us to understand, God, and not be tossed to and fro and not to get so caught up on what everybody else is doing. And help us focus on the head of the church instructions for us and how he has designed and desired for his church to grow. We believe that your son Jesus is the head of the church and he is the one who grows his own church and that we are to be found faithful with what he has called us to do. So we thank you today. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You can come forward. I don't know if there's something in the message that resonated with you. Maybe you realize, maybe you're like me because I didn't know. I didn't understand. I just was upset. I left the church. Elaine, I can study my Bible and I can get this teaching right here. I can get fed from the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. All that is good and well, KP. But you need to understand what the Scripture says, KP, about what God has done. It's not about what you want, KP. So you guys can't be like, I don't like his style of preaching. Am I teaching the truth? That's what you need to ask yourself. If I'm not, by all means, leave. It's not about what we want. It's his church. His process, his way, and we have to give obediently to that. Like I said, I should have said trust and obey the process. May you stand. Go ahead and stand for me. If the word of God has resonated to you in any type of way, again, it should be some conviction. If you're not serving, it should be conviction. I don't say that. I'm not throwing anybody under the bus. I'm trying to exhort you and encourage you. Those of you, if you're here today, and I know there are some of you here who talk to me about becoming members. Please hang around for me just a sec afterwards. I want to talk to you about that a little bit more. But God has designed it so, if you have become a believer in Jesus Christ, you are to be at a local assembly serving his purposes. That's his plan, not my plan, not Gateway's plan. That's his plan. You don't get to just show up on, you can, but I believe there would not be an excuse for you. You'll have to answer for that. You may be all right with that, but I'm not. I'm so grateful to God that he has saved me and that he then had the audacity. Love had the audacity to even say, you'll let me serve you with the gift that you bestow upon me. Something that I know I don't deserve to do. May I be found faithful, God. As Joy plays softly, you can come to my left, your right, and kneel and have a talk with God. Nobody bothers you. Maybe you do want somebody to pray with you. You can come to my right, your left, and you kneel. Someone who's trained as an encourager will come alongside you, pray with you or for you. Right there online, please. Right there, bow your heads. Or if you do want somebody to reach out and pray with you, or you want someone to talk with you, then please reach out through that avenue on social media. We'd be happy to contact you. Someone will contact you about that. But at this time, won't you come if you're so led? We didn't do verse 16. It says this: from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. A summary of the whole thing: if we understand Christ to be the head of the church, and we understand that this is his plan, he tells us as believers, come to the local assembly because I have gifted certain people, not just from the pulpit, even all the way back to those classrooms with the youth, so that everybody will begin to grow. And as each one grows and God reveals to you what he's called you to do, and you do that work, the whole body builds itself up in love. That's the growth that Jesus is looking for from Gateway. That's what I'm going to have to stand and answer for when I stand before him. Do I want to be like the church that I saw on TV because of what I saw going on over there? Or do I want to be like what Ephesians 4? And I'm not knocking some churches on television and some very big ministries. They're doing a great work, and I thank God for them. So I don't want you to think that I'm knocking that at all, because I'm not. I understand there's been a gift that's been apportioned to me, a measure that's been given to me. KP, do the best you can do with the gift that's been measured to you. And let me see what God is going to do through you. Amen. I thank God for his word today. I've been encouraged by it. Thank you again so much for coming out today. One last thing to address, most of you, because I know everybody don't have social media. Again, we only give the option of removing masks once you're seated, because we still have distancing that's there. Immediately after service, we do ask that you put your mask on before leaving and before you engage in talking with others. We thank you, God, so much. We recognize not everybody agree with that. We thank you for understanding that this is where we are at this point. And we pray and ask God again that he continues to keep us in all of this. Amen. Let me pray for you guys, and I'll let you enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Please don't hesitate in light of what we learned today. We'll be back on Wednesday night in Bible study. Another opportunity for you to get fed and grow so that you might become the fullness of the measure in Christ. Amen. Father, thank you again for our time together. Thank you for all of those, God, who have come out today. And I give you the glory for that, God, because I believe it is you who's laid it on the hearts of the people, because you know you wanted them to hear this message, God. You wanted, may they recognize, God, it was for them to hear, God, that you want them to trust the process and that you have gifted each and every one of them that calls on your son's name with a gift to serve others. And I pray now, God, for those who don't clearly see what their gift is, that you'll manifest it, God, that you'll make it known to them so that you can go ahead and get the glory that you deserve through their serving you. Thank you so much, God, that even in the midst of our undeserving selves, God, you would still choose to love us and bestow upon us such great gifts. So we praise you today. As they leave this place, I pray your favor and your blessings upon your people. Pray they're found faithful with what they've learned. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.